Happy New Year.
Happy 2020. Hopefully that's what your vision is.
Yes.
2020.
That's really good.
That's good.
It's perfect.
Today I was looking at something and I couldn't read it, and Fallon could, and I got really bummed. I was like, oh no, here we go.
You need glasses. Hopefully everybody had a good night last night. Everybody was safe, sound.
Yeah.
Nobody drove drunk or did anything dumb.
Just don't do that.
Don't do that ever.
That's stupid.
It's dumb. There's no need.
Uber, Lyft, walk.
Friend, bike, rollerblade.
Dog.
Don't even bike necessarily.
Dog.
Yeah.
Ride your dog home.
What's been going on? Well, I guess first let's just tell them what we're going to talk about. We're going to count down the six moments that defined our decade. And, you know, there's been a bunch of things that have happened. These are just some that we felt like we wanted to talk about.
Some broad subjects.
So don't get too angry if you think there were other moments that defined it better.
Like, I don't know.
Maybe that time that we played Vanilla Live.
Or that time we didn't play that one song that everyone wants.
Ooh, shade. Shade being thrown at the setless divas. What do we do? Oh, we had a bachelor party the other day.
We did.
we can talk about that. That's a good good thing.
Okay.
It
was fucking cold.
Yeah. So.
You start it because I don't know. I want to know how you felt about your own bachelor party.
Well, my brother Tim planned my bachelor party, and just that itself is a little freaky because you just don't know what he's gonna do. But you know, I think he knew I wouldn't want to do like the
dude,
typical,
like the cool dude one,
like go out drinking, get some cigars, and
go to a strip club.
Yeah, so this was more of a daytime thing, and him and my other brother Brian came up with this concept of going through all the
story of your life,
yeah,
in the future,
the story of my life from my birth up until the birth of my child,
yes,
which is not for a bit still, but it was a bunch of games and contests and competitions. So everybody broke up into different teams, and we had a breath holding contest,
which I did horrible at. But okay, it was too tall. The bucket was too tall, yeah. And I karate chopped my throat as I went down into the water because I was like on my tippy toes and just leaning over. And I had the edge of the box was like going into my throat, and I freaked out. And I only spent, it was like, I had like 15 seconds. I did like so shitty, but I was like, I had like a freak.
Yeah.
But the rest of the day I was thinking about like, if I was like just dunked underwater, I could have held it like way longer.
Yeah.
But something going into your throat while you're holding your breath is not good. How long did you get on that?
Oh, I didn't do very well. I did like 29 seconds or something.
Yeah. Better than me.
Yeah.
John did the worst.
Yeah, he did like 9 seconds. Weak. And then, yeah, we did a bunch of games. We had a high jump contest.
Which
and
John won.
Yeah, we had a...
I got to the third round.
Sumo wrestling.
Ball wrestling thing. I did okay at that.
Yeah, I did better than I thought.
Yeah. I did okay at the run with the weights.
Yeah. There was like we watched the birth of a child on a YouTube video.
Yeah. While our doctor who
our doctor friend
who gives birth to children was telling us everything that was happening.
Yeah.
And this was to prepare you for what is happening. And that was wild. It was a wild thing.
Yeah.
This is fucking crazy.
So yeah, there was just a bunch of things. It ended with jumping into a pool that was
It was like a tribal, like, you're giving birth to your life.
Yeah, it's like you're...
Tim blindfolded us and walked us through his house and, like, told us stuff. And then we got to the end, which was this tube that you got in that was covered with chocolate and oils.
Cream cheese, I heard.
Stuff. It was wild.
But
and then
you couldn't see it.
Yeah, well, you're blindfolded. And then at the end, he goes, are you ready to live or something? And then if you said no, then you didn't jump in the pool. And then if you said yeah, you went into the pool. And mostly everyone in the pool besides two people, which I don't know who they were. But I went second. And at that point, he wasn't doing groups.
Yeah.
So the person behind me, I'm not going to name names, he was like, fuck no, I'm not going. Yeah. So you had to wait in the pool until the next person came in.
Yeah.
And it was a long time. And I'm just standing there. It was like minutes and minutes and minutes. Oh, and man. It was really fucking cold. And I got sick the next day.
Damn.
Yeah. But you
seem okay now.
Yeah, it was fine. I woke up today feeling good. Yesterday was a not great day for me.
So that was the bachelor party.
That was
that was fun.
It was just okay. I'm gonna say it was just all around just colder than I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah,
just all the events, and I was just like, this is cold. Mm-hmm. I should have wore long johns.
Yeah.
But as long as you had a good time, I had a good time.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I did. It was interesting. Definitely different than the traditional bachelor party. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I feel like I had to say something else. I don't know.
Well, in case you didn't know, kicking off the year, the first tour of the year, going to England and to Europe. Lots of places, lots of shows. And get your tickets at themainband.com. And if you live anywhere in England or Ireland or Europe, come
hang with us.
Come by and check out The Mirror live.
Yeah.
Mirror experience. We will kick into the episode where we break down the six moments that define our decade. But first, a message from a sponsor. Things that have defined our decade is our first headlining tour, An Evening with the Main.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, so much happened on that tour. So much changed our view because of that tour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that I think it forever changed us.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Half was it kind of accidental.
Yeah. You know, obviously a big thing was just like, all right, you're playing to just your audience for the first time, you know? So
yeah.
Before, I, you know, that's what's weird is like, we didn't even really know who our fans were up until then. You know, it's like, you know, people would come up and talk to us after shows. But thinking back to that, like, that's very weird that up until then, you know, we're just playing to a room full of people and maybe a quarter of them were our fans, but
yeah,
you know, they're intermixed within 2,000 other people that are there excited to see Cobra Starship or All Time Low or whoever. So you don't really have as much of a connection yet, you know. Then you start doing headlining tours, and then that's when you recognize the person that's come to five of the dates in a row and things, because there's also this kind of weird thing when you're like the opening band to like assume that somebody is there for you or something, you know, or like
well, even when we open for things now, I'm like, oh yeah, there's like no one here for us.
Yeah.
And that's usually not the case, but you just have that in your head, for sure.
Yeah. But you know, I get that was the beginning of us, you know, really deciding that when we're in control, we're gonna make it a little extra, you know, a little extra cool for the people.
Yeah, but in my head, I'm not saying that it was accidental, but I mean, we were planning. I know we've talked about it before. We were planning on a totally different type of tour.
Yeah,
we were just trying to bring out the biggest thing that would open for us at the time.
Yeah.
So that's what we shot for, like, for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then no one wanted to go out with us. So we're like, what do we do?
Yeah.
And I remember having that conversation of, like, should we just go up by ourselves?
Yeah.
Was the idea.
Yep.
And that's kind of what started the 8123 stuff was, mm-hmm. was that tour. And, you know, bringing out this entry in Austin Gibbs. Was Gibbs even on the flyer?
No.
Was Century even on the
flyer? Yeah.
They were on the flyer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that just kind of like changed our whole view and made us real, because that tour was like a massive success. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people came, and the feeling of it was awesome that we're like, oh, we can do that. That works.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, and so much on that tour that kind of changed, like, because that's when we started thinking of Pioneer, even yep. though Black and White had just come out.
Yeah, we were working on songs every day during our sound checks and on the back of the bus.
Yeah,
stuff.
I mean, yeah. So like every kind of aspect of that was the beginning of the future of yeah. what we were gonna.
We
do.
We started like experimenting with the songs, you know, live. Whoever She Is was an acoustic song on Can't Stop, and we were playing it as a full band, and Wallaby. You know, we extended into like a jam.
Yeah.
And some things like that we just hadn't had the time to work on before. And we were playing, you know, songs in the set that weren't just like the six most fast, obvious, most popular songs. You know, you're adding in things that you just think is cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those things, you know, even just like little things, like we handed out a note card when you walked in. And like you could like write down on it what date you went to and get the autographs and all the bands on it and stuff, and you know that's then something that we just did on the Mirror tour, you know. So
yeah,
it's you know, that's really when like our stance on the free meet and greet thing really happened, because
was like the only one that like
for that like there wasn't even an option to do one because you're opening for somebody. So that's really the first time, you know, we're out by the bus hanging out till 2 o'clock in the morning saying hi to people.
Yeah.
Really gaining these, you know, connections with people. So, yeah, definitely a big moment. The number two impactful thing on the decade was beginning to travel the world and play in all these international markets that we had never been to, you know.
Yeah. I think this is, it's just we have such an interesting job where you can go to so many different places and see so many different cultures and everything. And then like the funny thing about it is a show always feels like a show. Mm-hmm. Like wherever you go, people are just excited to be at a show and you kind of react the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, just it kind of makes the world smaller in, like, a good way.
Yep.
Yeah. and the fact that you, because of the internet, like, I mean, I don't know what the case was before because we've only been a band on the internet.
Yep.
But, like, Brazil, the fact that there was such a huge movement for us to come down there and it took so long. And then we actually finally did. And it was everything you could have dreamed it could have been.
Yeah.
Like, because we didn't know before.
Yeah.
You're like...
Well, I mean, yeah, and that goes for everywhere. You know?
Yeah,
we go to the Philippines the first time, and, you know, we're playing a mall that's... I don't even know how many people were in there. 5,000 people or something.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and playing these festivals in Australia and in England, and, you know, we went to Mexico for the first time here, and, you know, all these things... yeah, it really made us feel like the sense of community with the band more because it was like, oh, this is like a worldwide thing and like everybody's a part of it, not just like people here in our own country.
Totally.
And seeing just like the fashion and the like people wearing same kind of things or like we'll take like, you know, people in England or in like Europe would like customize their merch, you know, to certain ways or there'd be a bootleg shirt in Brazil after the show. And, you know, then you kind of like take that and put it into what we do for other parts of the world or, you know, just really like informs your decisions more and, makes the community feel like it's a worldwide thing, which has been the coolest part, you know, it makes it feel more important.
Yeah. And also like when, you know, things weren't going at the top in the US, there was like places like Brazil and the Philippines that in Australia and in the UK that like held us up in a weird, you know what I mean? Like, we had a whatever tour here and it was like, oh fuck. And then we'd go play a show there and it was like,
insane,
holy shit, that was insane. And it like lights your fire and it keeps you going. So having that, community everywhere, it meant a lot and it still does all the time. Like, it's really nice now that we, you know, all of those places and here we can go play a show and it feels epic everywhere. But yeah, I mean, they definitely like held us up when things weren't like the greatest. So yeah. It's nice.
Yeah. It's, you know, and it's exciting to think in the next decade that there's places that we haven't been, you know, I mean, even just on this upcoming European tour, there's like three or four places that we haven't been. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to continue to grow that and just to see what it's like, you know, it's
totally.
More, it's interesting, you know, to see where people are interested in hearing what we have to do. So,
with the guitar notes and drum hits.
And then the third thing, that defined our decade was launching 8123 Fest. This was a big thing.
Yeah. Just like how the first tour changed our view on touring, this changed the way of being a band.
Yeah.
Where we can throw a party every couple of years and everyone, like just how we said, that community of people come from everywhere and come to our home and like feel part of it for a weekend. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. It definitely has made us just think about how to make a weekend a special thing, how to make things outside of the concert a special thing with, you know, after parties and all these other things that, you know, giving people like a complete experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of taking notes from, you know, being inspired by things like the Grateful Dead, how their fans go everywhere around the world and then they camp out and all these things. It's like, well, you know, what's the 2019 what's the version of that, you know, for
now,
for us, you know, for our audience that want to be a part of something. And so that's been a really cool thing. And
I mean, it's so nice to see people's just reactions to the weekend, even like our friends and stuff. Like, it feels so, there's just so much love in this little area. And I mean, you can actually feel it.
Yeah,
it's so great. Like, and it's just why, like, that whole, every weekend we've had it, and it's only been twice, but like, you just walk around where, just anywhere kind of near where the show is, and you see people that you're like, oh, they're from New York.
Yeah.
They're from Brazil.
Yeah.
They're from Australia. Like, like, and they're just scattered around these places that, you know, we just kind of walk around all the time. And like, you know, they came because of something that we're doing and they wanted to be a part of and, meet new people. And, it's incredible.
Yeah. So that is something that I think, I'm excited to see where it goes, and excited to expand upon it, continue to make it better. You know, mm-hmm. I think this second year compared to the first year was, you know, we did a much, much better job, and the environment, the atmosphere of it was absolutely perfect. So
yeah, just like anything, the first year is always getting your claws dirty.
So hopefully that'll continue to be an exciting thing in the next years. Number four I had was finding new ways to record and kind of again, I guess, taking ourselves out of the traditional music industry as much as possible. And that was us having this idea of renting out Airbnbs and bringing in our own recording equipment stuff. So mm-hmm. Being able to record wherever we want. And
well, that dream comes from the bands that came way before us.
Yeah.
Like the Stones and Zeppelin and mm-hmm. these just like massive bands would have these recording studios and trucks.
Yeah.
And they just rent out a house, some castle somewhere. It's probably something Keith owned.
Yeah. But it was like to do it then you have to be like have a lot of money and be very popular.
Yeah. And you know, the way that technology is, and we were just telling you that right before we started this, it's just so much easier now.
Yeah.
You can make an insanely sounding record in a bedroom with no idea how to do it. Yeah. And you know, we've gathered things throughout the years to be able to do that. And you know, going to the coolest places and finding the coolest houses is like, I mean, you can't beat it.
Yeah. And even, you know, one of the houses even exploded. So
because they were making drugs.
Yeah. Don't make drugs in your house.
Don't make drugs at your house. Because we want to go back and record there. And now we can't because you caught it on fire.
Yeah.
Joshua Tree.
It sucks.
Okay. What was your favorite? What was your, what would you pick?
Which house?
Yeah.
Oh man, the Joshua Tree house was amazing, but just the view at the Gualla house, lovely lonely house. I can't beat that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
See, I remember so much struggle making that album and being sick and stuff, mm-hmm. but when I first initially think about it, I just think of the view and it like, I'm like, oh, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And all the like kind of, shitty things that happened making it don't really come to my mind unless I'm like really diving deep into it.
Yeah.
It's because our refrigerator didn't work.
Yeah.
So we ate bad bacon.
Yeah.
Oops.
It was like sweaty.
gross.
Cool. I guess we're doing top six.
Six?
Yeah.
Because that's 6 years is a decade, right?
Yeah. So the number five thing I have down to find our decade is kind of, you know, everybody coming into their own in their personal lives and, you know, people getting houses to call their own and getting engaged and, you know, things of that kind of nature. You know, when the band first gets going, you know, it's you don't really have a personal life at all because, you know, that's all you're doing is the band. And I mean, that kind of continues to be the case, but you know, now we've all kind of found other little things that are fun or just people that we like to spend our time with, and we're not, you know, working on this. And I think that's been an exciting thing for everyone kind of throughout the past 10 years, kind of over time, getting better and better at that.
Yeah. I mean, I think just it's such a strange way of living. So it takes you a while to maneuver that and mm-hmm. figure it out in your life. You know, and we're lucky enough to have people in it that understand that and can deal with that.
Yeah.
I know it's hard because it's hard for us too. Yeah. But yeah, it's just like being at the point now where I feel comfortable with who I am and the way my life goes. It's great to be at that place of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it takes a while, but that is, if anything, that is probably one of the coolest things of the decade is
yeah. Being I think, you know, hopefully people can, you know, I'm sure, you know, people that are listening that have, you know, are feeling a little bit like they're never going to find their place in the world exactly, or find their person that they feel that connected with. And, you know, I spent a lot of the decade like that. You know, I there was just such a point where I didn't feel like I would ever find that person. I felt like I would just kind of be alone, you know, and I just kind of was like coming to terms with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't even think I would try anymore, or like, not that I really was trying, but I had just kind of come to peace with that, you know.
Yeah.
But there was a part of me that wasn't happy with that, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, so, and I felt like, you know, there were times where I felt like, well, why would somebody want to choose to spend all their time with me? You know, it's mm-hmm. like, I don't have anything interesting to say or anything interesting to offer somebody's life or something. And
not true, Pat.
I know, but that's just how I felt, you know?
Yeah. And a thing that most people feel all the time.
Yeah. So I guess more so, I'm just saying that I couldn't feel more the opposite now. And so, you know, I think it just takes everybody a different amount of time to get that, you know.
Totally.
So I, you know, you found that much, much faster than me. And then so like something like that, and then makes me feel like, you know, there's this 5-year period where I don't have that and everybody else around me does or something. And, it, you know, it feels like... it's just not ever going to happen, and it can, and it feels very not nice, and there's a sense of comfort in that, you know, and just feeling like, hey, like, no matter what happens, like, I have a person that I want to, like, get through all the hard times with. So,
totally.
I wish that upon everyone, and I have confidence that it'll come, even if it doesn't feel like it.
And it usually happens at the times when you don't know it.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I mean,
you're not expecting it.
It's fucking crazy.
Oh, exactly.
Like, I mean, all relationships that I have or have had, it's like friendships and everything. It's just so random. Mm-hmm. You're just like somewhere, and it's wild.
You can't plan, you know.
No,
But
you can't put a time. So many people, I feel like, put a placement. I was like, in the next 5 years, I need to be married.
Yeah.
So they're like scrambling around looking for the person.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. That's not how you do that.
Yeah.
It, like, you have to just give it time. Yeah. And
I think the only thing that I did that maybe was helpful to me, and I don't know if this would be helpful to other people, but you remember I just decided I was like going
to say yes to everything.
Say yes more, at least.
Yeah.
Like it began like making a joke. I'm just going to say yes to everything.
Yeah.
But really I meant just like
more
to more.
Yeah. I, for sure.
And then.
Yeah.
Things happened. You know?
Yeah.
So.
And because that you said yes to going out to with a friend one night.
Yeah.
And then you met your fiance.
Yeah. So. It's.
Sometimes saying yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the number six final thing that defined our decade was Sad Summer Festival.
Yeah, and this is something that, you know, hopefully into the future is something that will change our lives.
Yeah, you know, 8123 Fest, I think kind of, you know, we gained some confidence in the fact that was a cool concept, that people enjoyed like a niche festival that was very specific to a certain genre of music, and it felt like every band in the day was like a band that you wanted to see.
Totally.
As opposed to going to Warped Tour or something and it's like, oh,
there's a lot of stuff, but
yeah, you might only like a handful of bands because, like, if you're into, you know, the odds of you being into, like, Real Big Fish are probably not very high. Or you being into Attila, probably not that high, you know.
You nailed two bands that I definitely think that is
that
the
our
case.
Fans might. But and then same thing for them, you know, a fan of Real Big Fish, you know, great band, but they're not going to be into us, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was kind of the concept, and it was a success, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was
just
cool
so nice
to play a part in it.
Yeah. I mean, it was such a cool thing to, like, see that we could play to, like, that many people in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just don't know. And then, you know, having the bands that we were out with, it was just like, oh, we can bring 5,000 people? Yeah. That's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was definitely a success, and it was super fun. And for it being the first year, it was, like, pretty well handled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was great.
It was. It was awesome. And yeah, again with that, very excited to see where that will continue to head.
Totally.
Future. Well, there's many other things that helped to define the decade, but those are the six that we picked to talk about. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for being with us for this past decade, whether it's even been for the last 2 years or the whole time. It's been pretty crazy. We've put out a lot of records, and you know, thinking about just like, you know, because when I think about bands like the Stones or something, as you think about like, oh, what are the records they did in the 70s or the 80s or whatever, it's like,
yeah,
to think that like Black and White, Pioneer, Forever Halloween, American Candy, Lovely Little Lonely, and You Are Okay, you know,
yeah,
all came out in the 2010s.
That's fucking crazy.
That's wild.
That's super wild. Not to mention all of the other things.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So that just got me excited. That just got me excited to, like, we have to make the next decade better.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we do more things to push the boundaries, push the limits?
Yeah.
We'll have to figure it out.
Totally.
So
we're staying excited. We're, you know, happier than we've been collectively in the band and in our personal lives.
Yeah.
With our friend, yeah, it's a great time.
Awesome.
To the 20s.
Happy New Year.
Holy shit, we're going to be in the 20s.
It is now, by the time you're listening to this, it is 2020. You made it.
You made it into 2020.
The next decade. So,
weird. It's fucking weird.
Happy New Year. Hopefully you have a great beginning to the year.
Cool.
Talk to you soon.
Bye, sweetie.